Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. And as usual, I'm not flying solo. My partner in influence, Anne, welcome to it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back. How's been your week so far?
It's been busy, but it's been good. And it's finally summer.
Yeah.
So fewer layers. Very happy about that.
Nice one. And we have two special guests today, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get into it, please don't forget to follow this conversation on all of our social media assets. Let's keep this big and going. First guest today is Robbie Nell, and he's MD for Biotronic. Robbie, welcome to it.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you so much for making time out to join us.
Thank you.
And our second guest is a very good friend of mine. He's looking at me funny, but he's a very good friend of mine and an expert in employee advocacy. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm lekker. How's everyone?
Okay. Good.
Kevin is co-founder of The Internship, and today we want to talk about that congruence between, I think the thing about this program and influencer marketing is that it's mainstreamed throughout time, and it's given rise to other platforms and other industries. And so today we want to talk about one of those supporting platforms, and it's employee advocacy. But let's start with you, Rob. Tell us more about yourself first and the brand that you represent.
Okay, I'm Robbie Nell. I've been in the medical industry for 21 years now.
All right.
For the first 10 years was in pharmaceutical, and the past 11 years was in the medtech, which means medical devices. I'm currently at Biotronic South Africa. Our product portfolio is we mainly in cardiology, where we it's a niche market, so our main products are stents and pacemakers.
Okay.
So my head office, my international head office is in Berlin. So we're a German company, privately owned, was founded in 1963 in Berlin.
All right.
Okay, so it's got a long history, and we can trust your product.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes. All right.
And who is Biotronic's target market?
The target market is the cardiologists and also the allied professionals, which is your clinical technologist, your nurses, your radiographers. Yeah. So it's all that's involved in the cardiology.
Okay, so your target market's obviously more B2B. You don't really, you obviously don't sell to the end consumers. So I can't come straight to you and be like, hey, Rob, give me a bit of a...
Unfortunately, we're not selling multivitamins or so, because that you can do to the end user.
Absolutely.
Our target market and the way we conduct our marketing is limited, because we subscribe to our medtech rules. So yeah.
That was my next question. It must limit your marketing to some extent, because you don't have everything that is to people that want to market to consumers.
Yes.
So what kind of marketing do you do currently?
Well, we do a lot of marketing directly to our customers, which is the cardiologist and our allied professionals. And it's very driven by clinical studies.
Okay.
That we are allowed to discuss with them. So it's studies pertaining to cardiology. And now recently I just returned from Paris last week, and that's where we got some very positive data on our drug-eluting stent.
All right.
Amazing.
And that we can convey to our customers.
Yeah.
But not patients.
But not obviously not patients, that they would trust the cardiologist to obviously
do
the best for them.
Yeah.
So what is your strategy behind your bigger marketing strategy?
Well, I know when I started, the strategy was to just to promote the organization itself, the Biotronic name, and then afterwards we promote and is very niche towards every single product we have. So there's features and benefits. So our marketing strategy is to get our name out there, to get our product name out there, to expand our footprint, and to get more airtime in the cath labs.
Right. Okay, perfect. So more big awareness.
Yes.
So when doctors are choosing, I have a lot of brands to choose from, they go for Biotronic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Kevin, you obviously are an expert in employee advocacy. Maybe can you break it down for our listeners? What is it essentially?
Okay, so I'm going to answer as a as a one-eyed man in the land of the blind. So the expert thing that doesn't sit so comfortably. But anyway, yeah, so effectively what it is it's allowing and giving the freedom of your own employees who potentially just sitting there and you're not utilizing them as an asset, which actually is there, and giving them the freedom and the guidance to actually help you promote your brand. And in short, that's what it is. And obviously, with the advent of the internet and obviously social media, it's really just an extension of conversations which those people might have been having in an offline basis anyway, so they around a bride, a church, or whatever else.
Yeah.
And allowing them to have those conversations maybe a little more formally, a little more in a structured way on social media. There's a quid pro quo which happens there. So basically, the employees get to borrow from the equity of the brand. They build their own personal professional profiles and in turn lend some of their equity back to the brand.
Yeah.
And that's the loop.
Well, what I like about that is it almost sounds like it's a no-brainer idea because every brand has employees and you're like, oh, yeah, there you go. But what is the uptake in the local market? Is everybody clamoring for it or...
So perhaps to answer, it's requiring a sort of a fundamental mind shift, and it starts with understanding that the world has and is fundamentally changed and changing. So that's the first thing that needs to come across. So obviously you have a lot of old marketing traditions and maybe even older, you know, I include myself into that pile, older people making marketing decisions. And this is new stuff which is coming through. So that's the first sort of mindset change that has to happen. But once that's happened, there's very much, you know, we haven't had a discussion with any potential customer or client that there hasn't been like, yeah, this can work and will work. You know, it's really then just about trying to understand how to fit it into a marketing, the rest of the marketing strategy. This is not about replacing any marketing channels. This is about just adding this as an additional marketing channel into the whole.
All right.
Okay, amazing. So, Rob, obviously we're speaking about employee advocacy today, and you're here because Biotronic is one of the first companies in South Africa who's really embraced it and run with it. So can you tell us, where did you hear about employee advocacy, and like, why were you interested in this concept?
As Kevin mentioned, you can only do as much with your employees in the field on the marketing side.
Sure.
And I've known Peter now, one of Kevin's colleagues, for years now. Our kids were in school together. They're the same age. And he came to see me, and I bought into it because I believe in it. And I believe you utilize your intel, which is our employees, to use another platform to get our name out there and what we want to discuss.
Correct.
And especially on this platform that we are, it's a professional platform, and this is the way we're doing our marketing as well.
Yeah.
And just to give you some background, I'm with Biotronic now for 6.5 years, and when I joined, there was about, I think, 51 or 49 or 51,000 followers. I think we're close to 60,000 now.
Oh, amazing.
That's Biotronic International. And just recently, and when we started this internship campaign, I identified 10 of my people, including me. So it was from sales, from marketing, from our office staff. So it was a good sample,
a
dipstick. So I recently returned from Berlin. We had a global sales meeting, and one of the topics was their social media. And what's nice, and I did send it to the gents here, is that they headquarter in Berlin used some of our examples on LinkedIn. To show for the world, for the Biotronic, yeah, for the whole organization. Yeah. And that's one thing. I'm sold. I actually had my boss here a few weeks ago, Joe Staub, which is based in Berlin. And I called Peter over for a meeting. He showed him what we've done as South Africa. So our next step is to go to Joe's region, which is an office in Dubai, and you're going to train all these guys.
That is wonderful.
These other managers. Yeah.
And I think just if I can add to that, I mean, Robbie's actually being quite modest here, because I mean, it does, from a leadership point of view, it's quite a big risk. You know, when I started work, probably before any of you started work, there's, you know, you'd sign this like document, which is like 50 pages thick, about only the grey-suited gentleman in the corner office was allowed to make any statements and press and stuff. So this is a big leap for businesses, especially with, you know, there's a lot of sensitivity around, Robbie explained it earlier, around who he may communicate with, what levels he can communicate. So there's a lot of trust that has to go through to the employees as well.
And I think too that even these days, every employee, wherever you go, has to sign kind of social media disclosures saying what they can and can't do. So I think employees in general are really scared to say anything about their company online, just in case they overstep and they get fired or they cause the stock market crash or whatever it may be. So I can imagine that even for you to sell it into your employees and them not being scared to actually embrace it must have been
I must say that's why we got the specialists in. I mean, if you've got a heart problem, you go to a cardiologist. If you want to do professional social media, you go to a specialist. And I must compliment them. They coached us from A to Z. Yeah. Evan can tell you when he was there the first day, there was from young to old, and the one older lady said, yeah, no, I can't do this. And I mean, she's one of the active ones on LinkedIn now. And one thing that Kevin and Peter said to us, he said, guys, I don't want to hold your hands for the rest of the year. I want to teach you, and I want you to go on and get your own specialist. So I just appointed our main lead is Lionel. So he's running our internal LinkedIn portfolio now.
All right, and that's a departure from the norm, because most of those consultants will come in and want to keep you locked down for 2 years. So that's quite refreshing.
No, for us, a win is when like Robbie and his team get to a point of that. We're good to go solo, which is great, you know. Yeah. That's
success.
That was the main aim.
That's us being happy, you know. When we lose a client, we get happy.
You must be the only agency in the world. Yeah. We lose a client, fantastic.
And we're happy. And Cam, let me take you a bit back. Why set up the internship? What is it that you saw? Because from where I sit, you are sitting at the cusp of something new and pioneering this. So what is it that you saw?
So look, I mean, I think it's not necessarily anything new. It comes from the fact that we have been involved as a group of companies in influencer marketing, and particularly with an initial focus on nano influencers, which you guys know. Okay, so the smaller influencers. And a lot of the brands that we were doing business with at some point turned around and said to us, listen, we're utilizing these nano influencers, which is great, and it's working well for us. But I've got this whole bevy of staff sitting there, you know, picking their noses and eating lunch, and you know, can't we get them involved in this as well? And that's when we started doing some research, and we were actually quite pleasantly surprised as well to find these kinds of programs actually quite you know, obviously we're a little bit behind the times, if you like, in South Africa in reference to the UK or to Europe and the States. And some of these programs have actually many of these programs are already running in those areas. So we were able to take a lot of learnings, which is quite nice, and sort of take best in practice ideas from them.
So that you bring up a really important point there. Do you view employee advocacy and the employees involved in that as influencers?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, who isn't an influencer, quite frankly? Everyone's an influencer.
Every single person, right? And it's really, spoken about this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So it's really just taking those people and giving them the skills and the ammo, if you like, to become more effective in that. That's really, and the permission. The permission is a big thing we spoke about.
And Rob, you've obviously been employing employee advocacy for a while, excuse the pun. Is it working for you?
No, I must say it's definitely, it's working like a charm. And just to mention again, last week in Paris, we had good data coming out from one of our products.
Yeah.
And within 5 minutes after it's been released, we've put it on LinkedIn. Mm. Our headquarter put it on LinkedIn. We endorse it. We share it with our LinkedIn contacts.
So your employees are obviously very active on this program, but are they actually enjoying it?
They love it.
Oh, that's great news.
And it's not, it doesn't take time. You think it's going to take time, but I mean, if you don't know how it works, it's a burden. But the two gents came in and they started from your front door, which is your photo and your background. So we started from the beginning.
Yeah.
So we started crawling, and now we walked, and now we're running. So
no, look, I mean, and you know, obviously we sort of monitor the activity, and there's some of the posts that these guys have done which like embarrass us in reference to the to how effective they have been, you know. Yeah. So it's really cool.
Kevin, when I started with him on this as well, because we all as a group do it ourselves internally, obviously for reference points, and also it just works. Before, I didn't really know what LinkedIn was about, guys. Like, when people say to me it's a social media platform, I was like, what are you on about? I am very scared of the platform. It's a place where you put your CV on, and that's
yes.
it. And Kevin took me through, and he made me take my selfie down, guys. It was such a good selfie as well.
And does he know it doesn't take 2 seconds to shoot a very good selfie?
Exactly. He looked, yes, it was a lot of, I even had a Wonder Woman shirt on and everything. And Kevin took one look at it and he said to me, no, that's got to change.
Exactly.
But he taught us, and he's holding our hands as well, and it's it becomes second nature.
Yeah,
it is. Which is fantastic, yeah.
And Kevin, do you consider EA as an influencer, full influencer marketing channel?
Absolutely, yeah. It is. It's completely an influencer marketing channel. And again, I go back to the. I'm preaching to the choir here, but I mean, everyone is an influencer, and it's just about where your influence is and who you're influencing. So I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, and do you think there is a huge difference in how it can be employed in the B2B setting and in the what are the nuances between the two sort of categories?
Yeah, look, it's interesting, and especially if you look at, you know, us in South Africa, we've got, in the B2C thing, it's probably a little bit more difficult. And B2B is quite easy because your clients and you have a similar tribe, if you like. So it's quite easy to build a tribe.
Yeah.
The other thing with business, from a business point of view, or a niche market like Robbie's market, is it's difficult to reach those people effectively and invest cost effectively as well. Because, you know, you can have your golf day, or you can have your, I don't know, do people still do press releases or whatever it is.
Of course they do.
This is the PR person.
PR 101.
But it's difficult to have an effective channel with those people, which is cost effective, because they're so niche, and you don't, and any sort of traditional media or mass media is, there's a lot of wastage involved there, right?
And that was my next point. When you have everyone with your tribe, you're speaking directly to who you want to speak, which is great.
But it's interesting on the B2C side is that, let's take something like Woolworths, right? So let's say Woolies, the people who are working at Woolies in South Africa, the people that they are serving aren't necessarily in their tribes. Whereas if you went to the UK or the States somewhere, you'd be much closer to having that. Yes. So there's different challenges in that. We focus predominantly on the B2B market because we do believe that that's where we can be really, really effective. Yeah. We also like, as a rule, we don't stick to it, but as a rule, we like working with LinkedIn because especially, and we've spoken about people new to social media or new to being active on social media, it's a very, very safe place to play. There's not a lot of vitriol and it's not polar. Not people hiding behind pseudonyms and these kinds of things. So it's a very academic place almost to be on social media. So that's good.
Exactly.
If I can just add to what Kevin's saying now, even in our induction now, with our new people, LinkedIn is on the agenda.
Brilliant.
Okay.
That's amazing because I feel like it's such a valuable skill. Then, Kev, I want to ask you one last question. From a strategist point of view, what objective do you think employee advocacy kind of answer?
So, anyone. Which one do you want? You know. So, I mean, it literally you can, you know, it looks. Or let me rather go to a typical sales sort of process or cycle. Is that the goal for a salesman is to be in front of their client when their client needs them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And often we know, having been in sales for a long time, you pitch up at a client and the client's, oh, well, geez, I didn't even know you did that. I just signed someone on last week. Or come back in 3 months' time because, you know, we're doing our budgeting then or whatever it happens to be. Right. So there's difficulties often in terms of timing. What LinkedIn does, or not LinkedIn, what this program does is it provides you a level of awareness, first of all, which is constant. Meaning when your client needs something from you, you're top of mind.
Yeah.
But not only top of mind, because the second thing it does is it positions you as somebody who knows what you're talking about. And that's what our program very much focuses on, is teaching these people to create a persona for themselves which positions themselves as subject experts, which they are.
Yeah.
It's just they've got to let people know that they are and show that they are.
Exactly.
So now I've done two things. I'm aware of you, and I also think of you as an expert. And so when I have a pain point, who am I going to call? The person that I'm aware of and the person that's – yeah, you're right. The person that I'm aware of, but also the one that I trust will be able to provide me with a solution.
Yes. Yeah.
So ultimately, and then, you know, it's extending that further. That obviously creates lead generation and all of the other sort of sales objectives that we can talk about.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Robbie, one final thing. Would you recommend this to other businesses?
No, without a doubt. Yeah. Definitely. It didn't only help us on our professional level, but also on our social corporate responsibility
as well.
So, I mean, that's what we also put on there.
Yeah,
that's things that people don't see, and we don't want to advocate it the whole time, but we do it. So
exactly.
It's nice. We need to give back to the community. But to answer your question, I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a great ending to this podcast.
And there you have it.
Employee advocacy
no-brainer.
For the win.
Yeah. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining us. Thanks.
Before we go, Robbie, if people want to get hold of you on LinkedIn, where can they find you?
Yeah, they can just go to Robbie Nell. They will find me on LinkedIn, and I'm at Biotronic South Africa.
Perfect. And you, Kevin, and the internship?
Yeah, same. So there we have a LinkedIn page. We have obviously a web page as well. But then if you want to look for me, I'm happy to hook up with me. Yeah. I'm Kevin Kirby, ZA. Because there's
sure
a bunch of us.
Yeah. Okay.
And you'll find me on LinkedIn.
All right. So we'll even go a step further. We'll include all of your contacts, links, and where people can find you in our show notes.
Perfect.
Because obviously the conversation can't end here.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining
us.
Thank you,
James.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Until next week, please follow the conversation. We love you, but we have to leave you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.